Good evening. I would like to call to order the Recreation and Parks Commission meeting for August 7th, 2008. And at this time, we can have the Pledge of Allegiance, if you would all rise, please.
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Shall we go into roll call?
We shall go with roll call.
Commissioner Vaughn?
Here.
Commissioner Hale?
Here.
Mr. Hensley?
Present.
Mr. Munoz? Chair Solu?
Here.
Let the record show that I got two calls that Commissioner Mahan and Wenger will not be present this evening.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I would like to open the floor for a public comment period. At this time, if there are any members of the audience who would like to step forward and make a public comment on anything other than a public hearing item, you may step forward at this time. You are limited to 5 minutes. I'm sorry, you're limited to 3 minutes. It's 5 minutes at a public hearing. Sorry. Three minutes.
I'm well trained. I'm Nancy Castle. I've been doing this for a lot of years. 3 minutes, it's all I ever talk for. Well, that's not true. I'm here to talk about Chess Live. We're moving forward with practices for the Living Chess game that's going to be featured at the Harbor Festival. Harbor Festival, for those who have forgotten, is the first weekend in October. Big event down on the Embarcadero. We are doing practice sessions with people who are expected to come down to the chessboard and scooping up tourists to play pieces on the second and fourth Sundays of the month. And this Sunday, a few days from this meeting, the live meeting, will be one of those Sundays. 3:30 p.m. at the Giant Chessboard, an opportunity to take the role of a chess piece, either a pawn or a royalty, a member of the royalty. It's going to be great fun. I look forward to having a lot of people come out. If you want to get in touch with me, you can contact me by email. Chess is about 45 minutes, and one lasted 2.5 hours. So it varies. We don't ask people to stand the entire time. We do have either thrones or stools because the dynamics of the game, it helps if people are lower when other people are expounding or whatever they're doing. So it's not like you have to stand still all the time, and we do have things that people can be working with or playing with as props so that they can really get into the character of whatever they're going to be. So.
Thank you very much. At this time, if there are any other members of the audience who would like to step forward during public comment? Seeing none, I will go ahead and close public comment at this time. And now, I don't believe that there are any actions in regard to the public comment. So let's move to the approval of the minutes for the June 5th, 2008 meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Any discussion about the minutes? No? Okay. Then all in favor of?
Aye.
Opposed? None. And now we move on to announcements. We'll start with Norma. Any announcements, Norma? Christy? Johnny?
I have no announcements.
None? Okay. I have one. I have just a quick announcement to let everybody know that Del Mar School will be starting school on Monday the 26th. And if you have not registered your child, please go out there and register your child now. Do not It's okay if you arrive on the first day at 8 o'clock without your child registered, but it sure does make it a heck of a lot easier out there if you pre-register your child for school. And that's my announcement. Okay, so at this time, I'd like to take A2 and move A2 up to the front of our agenda. And A2 is the presentation by the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation. I'd just like to move that forward since they're visitors for us.
Hello, can you guys hear me okay? Hi, thanks for having me today. My name is Terry Benko. I am the president of the newly founded Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation. And I'm here to give you the who, what, where, when, and why of the pool project. First, if I may I ask how many people knew that Morro Bay High School had a pool before 1998? Great. How many of you have been involved in conversations about creating a new pool? And how many is this brand new for you? So most of you have been involved in this conversation before. Okay, great. So I won't go over too much history. But I will tell you the who of the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation. It is myself, and I live in Los Osos, but I have children much with getting our 501(c)(3) status going, because that's what we are. We're going to be an incorporated nonprofit foundation. And so he's the treasurer. And we have Terry Schneider, who's a parent of a swimming and water polo participant. She'll be vice president. And Emily Robinson, she's secretary. So that's the who of the foundation. So what we intend to do is to facilitate the building of a swimming pool and also the maintenance of the swimming pool. So that's our goal, is to facilitate the funding of building the pool and also maintaining the pool. And where we like to have the pool, or where we're planning on having the pool, is at the high school. And if you could slide that down just a little bit. So we're looking at putting it in the parking lot at the first entrance, and I'll go over and point. So it's right there. Does everybody see where that is? I'll point that out again. So it's right as you go in the first entrance over to the right. And if you could put on the next overhead, please. This is my amateur rendition of, I Googled Earth the parking lot and put our proposed pool on, and it fits. So although there's many design details to be hashed out, this is the basic plan. So our plan is to have this completed by 2011, so it's a 3-year plan. And the why is, obviously, it will provide a place for the students of Morro Bay High School to swim and recreate, compete, complete their requirements, their swimming requirements and physical education. And also it's a place for the community to go. And that's why we picked that area of the parking lot, so that people in the community can go, make use of the pool, even when the children are using the pool, the high school students are using the pool, and they won't actually be going on the campus, so to speak, so there'll be no interference. So our intent is to have the pool service the community and the students as many hours as possible, because the more it can be used, the more profitable it'll be, the easier it'll be to maintain, okay? And so did everybody get their packets? Have you had a chance to look those over? So in your packets, there are some points on how the foundation and our goal fits in with the mission of the city of Morro Bay. And your mission is to improve the quality of life for all ages, community health, youth development, athletics, and the economic vitality of the communities that you serve. And so this fits in very well. On the second page of the report, there's actually 4 points in your mission and in your Vision 2020 reports that specifically says why this would be a great idea, a great partnership. Do you all have those? Do you want me to go over any of those 4 points? No? Okay, so I'm going to go over a little detail of the pool that we have planned. It would be a 40-meter by 25-yard, and again, the exact configuration we haven't, it would probably be 30 feet by 50 feet so that the instructor could stand there and do aqua aerobics, but you could also have youth swim lessons, all kinds of activities. Other activities you could do would be kayaking, scuba diving, training the lifeguards, the beach lifeguards. There's just a plethora of activities that could occur. Now, we would like to enclose this in an open-air complex, not a stuffy, enclosed, not great circulation type complex, but something similar to the pool at Lompoc. When they have the ability, it's plexiglass-like, and they can open the ceiling and they can open the walls, and they can, by doing this, they can maintain the humidity in the air so that it's appropriate for the students and the people that are using it, and the temperature. So it's really quite comfortable. Has anybody had a chance to go to the Lompoc pool at all? It's heaven. You just are able to go in and participate and also watch the different activities in comfort. So this would allow, although it would initially cost more, it would allow the pool to be used more during the year and at night. And also, the Lompoc pool has been able to reduce their energy cost by 30% by adding the cover. Okay, so it's a good cost savings. So our action plan is to create the foundation and to start collecting funds. So we've actually formalized the foundation. We're applying for a 501(c), and we're opening a bank account, and we're ready to collect money. We also have a committee that will be working on fundraising, and there's a lot of ways to raise funds. I just took a grant writing class, and there's actually people, private foundations, that are donating large sums of money to actually build pools and also maintain pools. So the money is out there. Also, we want to complete a feasibility study, and we want to figure out how big do we want that feasibility study, and that's something I'm going to talk to you about at the end. Because we want to know, is this going to work? How is it going to work? And then they'll be creating a partnership between the school district, the city of Morro Bay, and the county of San Luis Obispo. And we've had conversations with all three entities, and all three entities are open and willing to participate in either the school is providing the land, the county is providing partnership for grants, and the city, we're hoping that you'll be interested in programming the pool and maybe other, I don't know how you want to be involved, and that's something we want to talk about in the future. So all three entities have talked about forming a joint powers authority, and that would be another one of our next steps. It's like, how are we going to do that? And this entity, the joint powers authority, would actually be responsible for maintaining the pool. So in the past, the city has, or the school has been concerned that they would be having to foot all the bills for maintenance, and the same for the county. So this way, this one entity would be responsible and no other entity would be. Okay? So our plan would be to, after we get the feasibility study, form the partnership, then we design it, and that actually takes about a year to do, and then permits, and then build it. So it will be complete in 2011, and our estimated cost is $8 to $12 million. So do you have any questions? Before I make some specific, how the other pool, there are many communities that have been able to do this. Lompoc, Salinas is actually breaking ground on their pool. Redding built a fantastic pool. Mendocino is also building a pool right now. So when we look at how they did it, they went everywhere. They got government grants. They got private grants. They got private donations. I know the larger the donations, the easier it is. So we're looking in all those areas. Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
This maintenance entity, in the long run, are they going to be funded by the overall foundation?
Thank you. I forgot to add that one of our goals of the foundation is to create an endowment fund.
Okay.
So, for instance, if we had $1 million endowment fund, the interest on that at 5%, if we could get that, would be $52,000 a year, and that would go strictly towards maintaining the pool. So, for instance, the Lompoc pool, currently their first year of operation, and keep in mind they have five pools, so it's a big operation, they operated at 58% recovery costs. Now, there are some pools that are 95%. That's outstanding. And typically in the county, for instance, Hardy Park is at 50%. So we're looking at creating an endowment large enough to cover that cost that is not being generated by programs.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else? Any other questions? Oh, would you mind putting up the picture of just an example of one of the big picture? Actually, see the large one right there? Will that go on there? But that gives you a little bit of an idea. It will have a lot of light and a lot of air and be able to be used by a lot of people at one time. So, if there's no more questions, I have some requests for you to consider. I know you won't be taking action tonight, but some requests. The first is to recognize the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation as a partner in fulfilling the city's mission of building a pool. So that's the first thing. Consider us as a partner officially. The second request is to allow us to present our project to the city council. And then the third would be a request for you to consider using any funds that you have to be put towards a feasibility study to build this pool. And we would want you to approve of the company that we choose to do the feasibility study, as well as us, so there has to be agreement on that. And also, we would love for you to think of what questions you would like to have answered in the feasibility study. Because you can customize a feasibility study to include just a little or a lot. For instance, the school wants to know how much it's going to cost, how we're going to program it, what is the net profit or loss, so what will they be responsible for? They want to see a really specific plan. Not all feasibility studies are that encompassing. So we would love to know what you would like, what questions you would like to have answered in the feasibility study. And that concludes my presentation. So thank you very much for having us here tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Oh, thank you. The next foundation meeting will be at NETA. This pool is going to be built if there's a group of people that are committed to seeing it through. And that's what it's going to take. So the more people that are committed that could come to the meeting and help participate, the more likely this project is going to go through. So please, encourage people to come. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, great timing. Okay, we are going to have... We don't really need any action for that, but I would ask that to Joe, could we bring this discussion back at a later date, agendize it so that we can have a discussion about the request by the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation to for us to consider adopting them officially as a partner for a future endeavor into a pool, look at whether we still have funds left on a feasibility study. I know that at one point when I first joined the commission, and this is a throwback, Johnny, it would be you and me who would remember this, there was some money for a feasibility study somewhere, and I don't know whether that was taken away from us or whether that still exists, so that would be something that I would be curious about, and if we would be willing as a commission to discuss recommending adopting them as a partner and then forwarding that recommendation to the city council if we decide to do so.
Certainly. Good evening, Chair Solon.
Good evening.
I wanted to make sure we got a good evening in. The presentation that you heard tonight certainly can be followed up with your commission on various points. I would encourage you to maybe consolidate them in something that staff could have some clear direction on and come back to you with the future agenda item. So towards the end of our meeting, I believe that's after D5, we'll get down to future agenda items. And so if you had something for us to come back with, consideration of official partnership or identifying the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, that's just that. Those things can certainly be addressed, and we'd be happy to bring that back at a later commission meeting to discuss.
Great. And we'll do that. And seeing how it's 5:30 now, we actually need to move on to public hearings. And we do have a public hearing this evening on, it's E1 on the agenda. It's a review of the smoking regulations within city parks here in Morro Bay.
Good evening, Chair Solu and Commission. E1 is brought to you by request. We had met regarding the smoking issue in our city parks several months ago. It was recommended that the Commission re-agendize the item for future public input and giving the community an opportunity to come back and either voice their opinions for or against some of your recommendations in the previous meeting. That was on the 28th of May, and so here we are reviewing the policy once again. I've included the previous staff report for your review, just in case you had forgotten some of the... Staff offered you three different options in your previous meeting. The first was to obviously leave the city, leave our ordinance the way they are, a 25-foot from play areas, and leave the signage and move on. Or an alternative to that would be to extend that space from 25 to 50, 100, and there was some talk about, you know, 100 feet or 150 feet from play areas. That's certainly still an option for you. You could ban smoking in all sports-related parks. Our idea was Lila Kaiser and those that have sports elements. And again, that's going to be a law enforcement. It's kind of a passive enforcement. And we felt that it may be confusing to individuals that certain parks are smoking, certain parks are not smoking. What constitutes a sports element in someone's mind, it might be different than someone else's. So we kind of looked at that option, and we moved on to the third option, which was prohibit smoking altogether in all your parks. And that's an add-on we talked about with the city ordinance with the beach and the pier prohibiting of smoking. We would add on all city parks. And that was where your commission went at our last meeting. You certainly have a right to review the staff report and make a different conclusion. But it is through our public hearing, you'll be able to hear presentation, I believe, from the county. They'll be up and they'll want to discuss some things that they had before, issues of smoking and prohibiting it in the parks. So we are looking for a recommendation from the commission so that we can either let it go or carry it forward to city council for a recommendation to amend a city ordinance if that's what we feel we need to do. So at this time, I would turn it back to commission.
Great, thank you. So I guess I need to open it up for public comment, don't I, for our public hearing? Or do they speak first?
No, I'm sorry. You can open it up.
Okay. At this time, I'd open the floor for public comment. If any members of the audience who are smiling would like to step forward and comment, we'll give you 5 minutes at the public hearing to speak your piece. And please step forward.
Thank you, commissioners, for allowing us to speak with you today. You can tell it's summer vacation because there's a lot less children here with us tonight. So my name is Christina Lefebvre, and I am with the Slo County Tobacco Control Program. And on behalf of the Slo County Tobacco Control Program and the Tobacco Control Coalition, we'd like to thank you, the commission, for your leadership and your consideration of smoke-free parks. Morro Bay was a community leader in implementing the smoke-free beaches. Now we hope that you'll join more than 100 other cities in California taking steps to protect the residents from health dangers of secondhand smoke and tobacco litter by recommending a full ban of tobacco in outdoor recreational areas. Research shows that such bans have an overwhelmingly positive effect in a community. In some cases, these impacts can actually be life-changing. People who will live healthier and longer lives, especially those who will be further discouraged from smoking, especially youth. With the recommended full tobacco ban, the commission will send a very clear message to the residents.
Briefly, just wanted to make some comments and share my personal opinions as well with Christina, and that the Morro Bay community has really stepped up and has been a leader in San Luis Obispo County in terms of taking the health matters of our community members very seriously, and would again just like to urge your support in recommending a full ban on smoke-free parks in the Morro Bay community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, you guys have also seen my face before. My name is Casey Chaffee, and I work at Friday Night Live, and we run out of drug and alcohol services at San Luis Obispo County, and we're a nonprofit drug and alcohol program for youth. We're in most of the elementary, middle, and high schools in the county, and I just wanted to be here tonight to reiterate that the youth that I work with specifically, and I know the youth that my colleagues also work with, are all in support of bans and regulations on smoking throughout the county. My kids personally in my mentoring program at Morro Bay High School and Los Osos Middle School and also San Luis High School and Laguna Middle School, all when we've had discussions throughout this last year about smoking bans, have all been in support. And I know one of the big issues is people's freedom to smoke. Wherever they want to. But one of the things that the kids had said was that it's also children and residents' freedom to be able to breathe clean air and not have cigarette butts everywhere, including their parks. So I just wanted to reiterate that the youth in the community, especially from my perspective of working with them and my colleagues, has been that they're in support of banned smoking, especially in parks and beaches and stuff like that. So thank you.
Thank you. Seeing that there are no further members of the audience who can comment, I would go ahead and close public comment now. Okay, any discussion in regards to the comment? Johnny?
Yeah, I think on the last meeting or the couple months ago when we had this brought to us the first time, one of my concerns was that the parks are also used for sports and rented out for weddings or whatever, parties and stuff. And I was just concerned that maybe that would discourage some people from renting our facilities because of that. I would hope not, but, you know, we have the ball fields and all that. And so that would be one of my main concerns. And I think I had suggested moving it from 25 feet to 100 feet and, you know, change the appropriate sign. So that's where I would be, I think, looking.
Jeff?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I'll try and be eloquent here. I like going to the park, and I think everyone likes going to the park, and I think this is a very emotionally charged issue. When I saw a bunch of kids walk in with, I do believe that there should be a smoking section in the park. They shouldn't be completely smoke-free. That alienates a lot of people. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Jeff. Norma? Okay. Christy?
Well, my feeling is I'm in support of a full ban. I think that, again, it's symbolic as much as anything. People are going to go to the park and smoke if they so choose, and calling out, again, it's sort of a passive measure to enforce that. But I think it sends the right message. I think it gets a little confusing if you're trying to take into consideration distance from, you know, X part of the park. I think it is complicated, so I don't think that would make sense. So, you know, my leaning would be more to just do an outright ban and sort of, you know, set the stage. It's the same as what happened with restaurants X years ago and airports and so forth, and I think people manage and cope and don't smoke when they're in places they're not supposed to.
Any comment now, Nora?
I don't know. I agree with you in a way that I think that it would be good to have smoking bans in the parks where kids are, like Tidelands Park and that area. But I don't see a non-smoking at Lila Kaiser, because that is the one we rent out. That's one we make our money on. And you could put up a sign that it would be, if it's something that day that is doing with kids, you could put up like no smoking when children present. You know, we got to hit a medium somewhere. That's it.
Okay, I'm mixed on this. I own a hotel, and 2 years ago we renovated the interior of the hotel and went completely non-smoking. 2 years ago, my husband, who started smoking at 14 years old, quit smoking. 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, never having been a smoker or any of those things. So I have mixed emotions on smoking. I, you know, am grateful that my husband quit. I have very few people who come to the desk of my hotel and say, I won't rent from you because you're completely non-smoking. As a matter of fact, most smokers say, oh, great, you're non-smoking. I'll smoke outside, but the room smells great to them. It's perfectly clean, so they love to rent from us. Smoking in the parks, I have a solution on that I hope you guys might like. I believe that there should probably be no smoking in the park, but I think that it might be okay if people smoked in the parking lot. When I was at City of Hope for 45 days, the entire facility, which is set up like a campus, is absolutely 100% non-smoking, and it is a huge, vast park-like setting. I have to say that when we would drive out of there and then drive back, we would see people who were smoking, but they would be out on, all the way out on the public sidewalk, taking a walk up the street, which I think would be okay. And I think the solution might be if we did a sign that said smoking permitted in parking lot only or in parking area only, which might be a solution. I don't know. You can discuss this once I finish. But I think that would probably keep it away. You know, it's kind of like the dog park issue. Are people going to jump out of their car and let their dog off the leash right in the parking lot, even though the dog park is going to be an enclosure? Probably. There's going to be some people who do that. You know, are there people who are going to open up their car door and let their kids run through the parking lot to get to the play structure without holding their kid's hand? Yeah, that's probably going to happen too. So it's probably going to happen. Somebody's probably going to smoke in the park. I think, again, it's a social value system. I would like to see no, you know, smoking stop at the grass and maybe start at the parking lot. Let me know what you think.
Most of our parks are kind of small, and if we were to move it to 100 feet, that would really kind of fit into sending them to the parking lot. Whether that was changed or not, like you say, they're going to smoke or not. So, you know, also thinking of the expense we would go through to enforce that, change the signs and that sort of thing, we'd have to change them. The ordinance quite a bit and the municipal code. So I would think it would just be easier to change it for now. That way be less expense to us, and then maybe look at it next year. And if we still have a lot of complaints or there are some citations given, then at that time we can look at, bring it back and look at maybe banning smoking.
When we were on our parks tour, I was kind of looking at the setup of some of our parks. Monty Young Park, for example, does not have a parking lot. You know, it's tennis courts, it's street parking. So, you know, obviously they would, and the distance from the sidewalk, the public sidewalk, to the playground is 10 feet, 15 feet maybe. So obviously if there were no smoking except for in parking lots, you know, maybe no smoking back to the sidewalk there in that area. I'm not sure what the sign would say, although I do believe that the coalition is underwriting the sign changing fees. The county or the coalition, I believe, is. I'm getting a yes from the audience members. So that's something to consider if that would be something that would make you balance one way or the other. I'm not sure. So, but I see your point.
Maybe I can interject on your on the sign concern. That's definitely staff's concern. The resources we don't have, and putting on more ordinances on the books that we can't enforce. And those are two very strong arguments. With the passive enforcement that the police have mentioned and have illustrated through the previous ordinance of no smoking on the beach and the piers, it hasn't impacted them as far as personnel resources. As far as the signs go, the county has agreed to help us out financially with any changes, and staff has taken the ball a little further, and we've talked with public services, and there are some new signs that are out there. And what we would be interested in doing, if in fact there were changes in the ordinance and we're going to change the signs, we would want to take some existing designs that are just new to the city and duplicate, like I said, a legitimate concern, and we have addressed that. And I don't think you're going to see, I'm hoping that with the resources that we have available, that there won't be any financial burden on the city.
Anyone? Johnny? Jeff? With the signs, I also want to point out that with the signs, there's nothing that I dislike more than being told that I cannot do something. So perhaps if this does go through and we do change signage, I think there are ways to word things like, you know, instead of no smoking in the park, perhaps smoking permitted in parking lot area only, or whatever we decide, smoking permitted in designated area only, rather than the no, you know, it's just, it feels, thank you, it feels oppressive, yeah. And so I think that, also I think that it's better for us, our image as a city, to, you know, look at everything in a positive light. I just think that that's a nicer way to be.
One question on the parking lot. I mean, I actually didn't think about the parking lot as sort of part of the park, so that solution doesn't sound unfavorable to me. But, I mean, if we walk through the parks and go through an inventory, if we were to flesh that idea out and go, well, this park, okay, let's think about that. There's a parking lot now. I mean, maybe we want to run through that exercise and see what that looks like. So when we think about Monte Young Park, obviously there's no parking. I mean, it's a really small park. Parking lot doesn't really, you know, doesn't apply there. I mean, maybe we want to go through and think about the parks and look at that, if that makes sense.
I think that Commissioner Hale has a great point there.
Yeah, I think people that
microphone.
I don't this one. I don't think that people who go to Monte Young smoke. Do they? Do you know any tennis players that smoke?
Well, I don't know. My husband was a tennis player, and he smoked. He would run 10 miles, and he would smoke. I mean, right. But the point is, I also think that you're right about park rentals and our largest parks, like Lievelkaiser Park, the rental there, what that is used for. We get people from other areas actually smoke more than people here in Morro Bay. I think a lot of smokers are visitors to our area, and we do get a lot of visitors who use that park, and I think more so than, say, Monte Young.
Yeah.
But it's something for us to consider. I like Commissioner Hale's idea.
I'd like to step in at this time, Chair Solu. The idea of having a restricted area or in the parking lots, I would send a word of caution to the commission that you would go down a particular ordinance that would be site-specific, and then you would have various rules at every park. And having a user come, if the user was not familiar with the park, not knowing if this is a restricted area or not, is this an athletic field or not, some of the parking lots, like at Lievelkaiser, it's about 10 feet from the play area, 15 feet from the play area. Del Mar Park has parking lots up on the top on Ironwood that's right off the group picnic area. So I think you're going to find situations, even at Tylands Park, the parking lot, it varies.
Oh, I think it's a challenge.
You also find that when groups come in, and I'll use Central Coast Little League as an example, they rent out Lievelkaiser for a large chunk of time during baseball season. Their program policy prohibit smoking and tobacco use. So oftentimes the users will regulate themselves within their own organization as they come out and use your park. You're talking about just the individual user that's popping in for a family drop-in or a, you know, walking the kid or going to the play area. It's a different type of user. So you want to be consistent in general with your policies so that everyone can kind of understand it and try to adhere to it.
I mean, do we think visitor expectations, I mean, just given that, you know, you can't smoke in restaurants, I mean, there's prohibitions around smoking right now, and I guess the question is, does that, you know, turn away visitors, and is that a fair trade-off that we'd be willing to entertain? Well, we'll get more revenue if we allow smoking. I mean, what's really the thrust of people's decision on this? You know, that may be it.
Again, I think it's largely only enforceable through the person's own good sense. You know, I think if we go to 100 feet from a play structure or 100 feet from an athletic structure, we're going back into, well, you were 99 feet. No, I was 100. I mean, we're going back into this whole area type thing. So, you know, I'm not sure what direction we're going in. Maybe in the smaller parks, we just have signs that say smoking prohibited, and then in the larger parks, we allow it in the parking lot area. The public sidewalk, you know, people are going to step right onto the public sidewalk and smoke if they want to smoke. I'm not sure what the solution is. I'm willing to hear one.
I'd like to make a comment on that. On the sidewalk, when they first started banning smoking in San Luis, I worked in San Luis, and it really wasn't nice to see all these people standing on the sidewalk, smoking during their lunch hour, and on their break, and someone would eat and smoke on the sidewalk. It was really not a really good image. But they finally banned it on the sidewalk, too. I don't know if they can now on the sidewalk in San Luis or not. I haven't worked in there for a while. But they were allowed to smoke on the sidewalk, and here's all these office people out there smoking on the sidewalk. They didn't have a designated area. Mm-hmm. At least some of the businesses did put in, because you couldn't smoke in any of them, they put in a smoking area where the employees could smoke. But a lot of them didn't, and they were there. They were all out, standing on the corners, smoking cigarettes. Looked really good. Good image of the town.
So we're just going to herd people to one location?
Chair Schulte, if I could make one more comment. We have been talking about the participants since we started this conversation. We haven't talked about law enforcement other than their passive enforcement of a smoking ordinance or a ban of smoking. There are also a level of the officers who come out and who respond to a complaint. They need to have a consistent policy as well. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, I don't know what their schedule is. If they're 8, 9, 10 hours into a shift and it's been rough, now they're responding and now they've got to recall, is this simple to follow and we can inform the public as opposed to giving them 8 different choices of what they can and cannot do in a park. We can say, hey, this park is a no-smoking park, or they're smoking here and it's designated in that area. Something that's fairly simple that staff can enforce, the police can enforce, and the people and the users can understand. So you want to keep that in mind as you go through your discussion and try to deliberate on some kind of a motion. Thank you.
Okay. So let me put that in layman's terms. What you're saying is for the police department and for staff and enforcement, it's easier to go all or nothing? I mean, that's layman's terms. So my question for you, and I don't know, maybe you can't answer this because this might be a legal question. If we say no smoking in the park, and I take my kids to the park, and I go to the car, and I have a cigarette in my car, am I violating the law? I don't think so.
That's an interesting question. And when you say you're violating the law, you may be violating something other than a smoking ordinance. If it's enacted, I mean, if your children...
No, I mean, if the kids are in the car and saying they're in the park.
They're in the park, and if they're...
I'm smoking a cigarette by myself.
Right now?
Yeah.
No,
no. If we pass no smoking in the parks,
okay,
and we have a visitor whose kids are playing in the park, and that visitor goes to their car and they smoke a cigarette, if it's no smoking in the parks, that does not really necessarily preclude the parking lot from being a smoking area. that makes it very vague still. I mean, where's the window?
Is
it from the
driveway? I would have to say the parking lot is included in the park.
Okay.
And whether you're in your own vehicle smoking or not would be another issue. Mm-hmm. And again, you're up against a passive enforcement. Is someone going to call you on that? It's going to be up to you to feel that, are you endangering the children or other bystanders? Oftentimes, smokers, they understand who's around them. Okay. And for the most part, I don't speak for all of them, but they seem to be somewhat considerate because society has put a lot of regulations on smoking. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I would say that if you're in your car, no, you're not. But if you're in the parking lot, I would consider that in the park.
Okay. So at this time, I would hear any further discussion. Are there any further discussions that we'd like to have? No? Okay. So at this time, I guess I would entertain a motion from another commissioner to completely ban smoking in the parks, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it flies.
I believe I could make a motion, and then if it is not passed, then another commissioner can make another.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
So I would make a motion to forward to City Council to amend the city ordinance to change the distance from 25 feet to 100 feet and modify the existing signs on all parks.
Second on that motion.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Okay. Round two. I guess at this time I would be interested in hearing another motion from the commissioners to see if we can come to a resolution on this tonight. Hear one more. Commissioner Hale's motion.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
No. Was it a nay, Norm?
Nay.
Nay. Okay. Okay. Well, then,
no,
here we are.
I was taking some notes. Pardon me, Chair Solu. The last motion was prohibiting smoking in all city parks, and the second one was from you, and the vote was 3-2?
Yes, that's correct.
And Norm, you voted no?
On which one? I voted no on the last one. I think I voted no twice now.
Yes, you have. I wanted to know the record was straight. You had voted no twice. I wanted to make sure I knew that both motions that were on the table that had been seconded had failed 3-2.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay, and it sounds to me like we're going to have an impasse. I will take a final shot over the bow at this and say that I would be willing to entertain a motion that would ban smoking in the public, in the parks of Morro Bay, in all parks of Morro Bay, and only permit it in the parking lots of those that have parking lots. I would entertain that motion if anybody's willing to make it.
I'll make it.
Go ahead.
I make a motion that we ban all smoking in the parks, but we allow smoking in the parking lots in all parks in Morro Bay.
Any discussion on that? I have a question for Norma. That is all permitting smoking in parks that have parking lots.
Right.
Not permitting smoking in any parks that do not have parking lots.
Correct.
Completely banning smoking in parks that do not have parking lots. Is that your motion? I just need clarity. Okay, I need a second for that. Did I take a second for that already? I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
We need a second for that. I'll second that. All in favor?
Me.
Aye. Opposed?
Yes, and I. So it's a 3-2.
Okay, that passed. I didn't quite hear that, but that passed 3-2. So we will forward that recommendation to the City Council.
And I would like to remind Commission that we would want to forward also a commissioner to follow this item to Council and hopefully answer any questions that they may have at their meeting.
And do we know when it would be arriving before City Council?
Yeah. I'm not too sure how full their agenda is. I would put it on the tracking list, and hopefully city manager can put us on the next available time slot with city council.
Would you be interested in going, Vice Chair Hale?
If I'm in town, I will.
Okay, so we'll be, I guess, we'll try Vice Chair Hale, and we'll have a fallback if that doesn't work out.
Okay, thank you.
Okay?
Joe, will you send a note out on when or?
Definitely. It's always public notice, but once we get an idea, I'll inform Commission, particularly Commissioner Hale, regarding what date.
Okay, thank you. Okay, where are we? Let's see.
Our tour took place in place of our July meeting. We met at the Morro Bay Community Center. We had three members of their commission there, and we also had two members of City Council, and we had one member from PWAB. And we also included our park superintendent, myself. We had chartered out the trolley, and we did not stop for coffee this time because we were under a pretty serious timeline. But we took off from the community center, and we headed out to Del Mar Park, and we toured Del Mar Park. We actually got out of the trolley there and looked at some of the future site for the dog park, and we talked about the future site of the site of the tennis courts. So we had a little discussion of some of the elements that are going into that park, and not only the current conditions and existing elements, but also the future plans. And so that's kind of what our parks tour does. And so we came back, and we hit North Point and Cloisters, and I won't list all the parks we went through, but we went through all the parks. We did not stop and get out at all the parks, but we did stop and talk, and there was questions about trees and service levels and so forth, and it was nice to have our superintendent there, and he and I answered all the questions the best we could. One of the recommendations that I had regarding this tour was to possibly arrange the order a little differently. I think we started off a bit slow. I think we headed out to Del Mar, and it was a lot of dead time from the beginning of the tour out to the park at Del Mar. But once we got into the tour, a lot of conversation and a lot more activity, a lot more things to think about and look at. And so maybe we can jump into that a little sooner. Maybe we stop over at City Park right off the bat and really get into it right off the bat so people are excited and they don't lose too much enthusiasm, because it was a little tough to get out to Del Mar Park right at the beginning. But like I said, as it went through, I think it went really well. And I think that we would want to invite some additional people next time. I think we kind of got a stronger showing. I'm not necessarily focused on the commission, because I know some of you have already attended the parks tour at previous years. But other advisory boards that may have an interest, planning commission, the PWAB certainly, even community promotions, to give them an idea, a little bit of background. Maybe they don't know all the details. They might think they know where the parks are, but once you get out there and start looking at them all, and you know where Anchor Park is or Mariner Park is or what's happening over at Monty Young Park, it sheds a little different light on it, and it kind of helps you understand what you're doing and things at a grassroots level, and then you can make some decisions. So one of my recommendations is to try to encourage a stronger participation. So that kind of concludes my verbal. I don't have a lot of strong details. I don't want to bore you with all the different parks and everything that we did, but I would certainly send it back to commission for some more discussion for those who did attend.
Johnny, any discussion?
Yeah, it was just for the commissioners that weren't there. It was fun. I mean, probably done it almost every year that I've been on the commission, and I do remember that it was the ash was falling so bad that there was, especially over at Del Mar, I mean, it was like snow. it was awful. But and the mention on the tour was Del Mar. Well, I thought Del Mar was around the hockey rink area there. Lila Kaiser, for those who have businesses or whatever, can call the office at the Recreation and Parks and actually advertise their business or something there and rent a sign there. So I believe we've got to mention that on the tour, which people can do.
Yeah, I think that the parks tour is invaluable. The parks any city, change and ebb and flow, and they have this whole flow of use. I remember 3 years ago, Del Mar Park, the playground equipment wasn't really that great, and there were always just a few kids in there. We arrived, even with the ash, there were kids down there playing, having a great time. I mean, that park is really heavily, much more heavily used now. And so as our parks change, so did the usage, and it's really good to go on these park tours. My recommendation for the park tour is that we move it up in the year to June, because our meeting is the first week of any month, the first Thursday of any month. And I think that it would be really good to have it before school gets out, because I think in summer a lot of the commissioners, not only on this commission but on all the commissions, are off on vacation and doing other things. And if we go before summer really hits, then, you know, we might have a larger turnout. I think that it was really great. The ash was falling, and I did find it fun to see, you know, the parks through Lou's eyes. He was really great, so it was a good time. So I guess it's just a motion to accept for file then, unless there's any further discussion from anyone. I was just trying to. We were trying to see.
Okay, I'd make a motion to accept A1 for file.
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
And can I add just one more thing? That if you like the parks tour so much, we are going to be initiating a new tour, a facilities tour, in January.
Cool.
So that's something we've never done before, and our department is responsible, and through our facilities division, for all city-owned facilities. So we've got a lot of public restrooms that aren't as exciting as the public buildings are. So we've got some new apparatus bay at 460 Bonita Street. The new fire station should be ready to tour through. And there's some other buildings that you might be interested in seeing. So that will be very insightful. I encourage you to look forward to that in January.
I don't know. I still think the rock restroom's pretty exciting.
It really depends.
Okay, so we'll move on to B, unfinished business, B1, Recreation and Parks Department status report.
Can I send you back up to A3?
Oh, you can. I keep trying to skip stuff today. Mm-hmm. A3, Recreation Parks Department program evaluation. Sorry.
Certainly. Chair Solo and Commission. Program evaluations are brought to you from time to time as programs get completed, and staff has compiled necessary information, number of participants, revenues, expenditures, and so forth. So as those programs conclude, we try to get in a timely fashion over to you some kind of a report or evaluation. First one you have, and I have a series of, I think, four or five, and I would hope that we could listen to all the reports and possibly make one motion to accept all for file, similar to what we do with our participation reports. So A3, we will start with the program evaluation for the futsal program for 2008. Our direct costs for the program were $2,244. When we include the balls, the referees, the supervision and medals, and indirect costs, your total expenses are $5,109 and some change. We realized that we partnered up with the YMCA regarding the futsal program, and so we had shared responsibilities throughout the program, and so we share expenses and revenues. And you'll see the total cost of the YMCA was $2,693 and some change. So total expenses for the program this year were $7,802.80. Our revenues, which we charged $55 per participant, and we had 120 participants. And if you'll notice, and I think we have in our participation, you'll see that jumped considerably from last year's numbers, which was nice. Total revenues was $6,600, a net loss of $1,202.80. Cost recovery is at 85%, which is very strong. I would draw your attention to the six recommendations for the program. We are recommending that we end our collaboration with the YMCA. We feel that responsibilities throughout the program can be absorbed within our staff, and we feel that once we do that, our cost recovery should be more projected towards 100% than the 85 that we see here.
Your cost recovery was 75%? What is it? When did the city council give you this time for your cost recovery? Because I missed it.
No, this cost recovery is an actual cost recovery of 85%. I believe the program, is scheduled to be 75%.
Okay.
So we're actually exceeding our cost recovery. However, you'll see in the future meetings with city council and the managing partners' recommendations that staff lean and move towards 100% cost recovery, and that's what we're shooting for. So as we go through the program evaluations, you'll see that we're getting close to 100%, and we're making recommendations to make us further along to accomplish that goal. And I think that we're on a good path with this particular program as we start off. There's also some other things regarding adjusting the team size, work with South Bay Soccer to promote the futsal program at the end of the fall season. And one thing we're going to be looking to do is use reversible jerseys, and we have those in now, and that will cut down on the participants' cost for buying a new jersey for every season. And these reversible jerseys will be able to use for soccer, futsal, basketball, and I believe t-ball. So it's kind of exciting. We're looking to rename this program to the Sarah Bay Youth Futsal, and we are definitely seeking sponsorships for our next go-around. The next program in front of you is the 2008 Coast Summer Slam Softball Tournament. And your direct expenses for the program, well, let me give you a little bit of background. The practice, this is a practice of Morbay. We offer this program to, it's open to everybody. We offer an all-star program that requires support of the Coast Girls Softball Board, and as well as the department's role in All-Stars is limited to the oversight. So basically, it's not part of the regular program. It's a postseason. This is a softball tournament in and of itself. The expenses for the program, you have a list of direct cost, and we all have a total expenses of $5,697.25. Entry fees for the program brought in $5,800. Total revenues to include snack bar and T-shirt sales were $7,517.84. A net gain of $1,820.59. Cost recovery, 124%. So these kind of programs that we're looking to continue on, some of the recommendations were obviously to continue support from the Parent Advisory Board. The tournament is parent-run, if you didn't know that. And parent participation has been less than optimal in the last 3 years, but for 2009, we were going to look at options to encourage more parent participation. Suggestions include to charge a fee to start the All-Stars. And if you don't, then there's a deposit that would help defer some of the staff costs. Continue use of the print slingers for apparel. And they come out to the site, and they print custom shirts for you right there, and then we get a portion of their concessions. And that's where you see in the top T-shirt sales, we get $557. That was our cut on the commission, and it works really well. It doesn't work so well up at the adult level, but in the girls' softball tournaments, it works really well, and it's very well received. And it was last year, and it didn't again this year. We're always looking for sponsors to defray some of the cost. We're also looking to get a group to come in and do the snack bar. Your next program is the regular season, 2008 girls softball. Direct costs for the program included field rental and maintenance, Harvey's Honey Huts, and there's also a contribution to the light replacement costs. And if you know, we just did some lights at Lila Kaiser for Westfield. We used the Lila Kaiser Lighting Fund. That's because each team that participates out there in the tournament or regular season contributes some money, $30, towards that fund. Total expenses for the program were $11,825.02. Registration fees brought in $1,387. It was a net loss of $2,138. Cost recovery, 85%. I bring your attention up to the indirect costs, and you'll see these indirect costs throughout the different programs. And it says cost allocation. And if you're not familiar with the cost allocation, it's basically we take a program such as a softball, and we run it through everybody in the department who has anything to do with the program. And if you answered the phone for 5 minutes for this program totally, then we take your hourly wage and we go 5 minutes, and it will be a cost recovery, cost allocation of what exactly are we putting into it. So we take that and we make that an expense and take it out. So your cost recovery is a true cost. And in the future months, I don't know how soon, we'll be looking at our cost allocation and revising and update that. So these numbers become more accurate. And if those numbers go down, then your cost recovery goes up. And that's the direction that we're looking to go. Some of the program recommendations for the girls' softball were to continue with opening ceremonies to include singing of the national anthem by a player and throwing the first pitch out by the youngest girl on picture day and full days. Field prep recruitment needs to be addressed early. Oftentimes we have a difficult time getting enough staff to get out there and prep at the fields. Review fundraising options. Review the 8-and-under rules. Purchase new helmets and catcher's masks and new bats as needed. So every year we go through, we salvage what we can that looks in great shape and it's legal, and things that are become worn and or our safety issue, we pull out and when we replace as needed. Continue to work in the partnership of other leagues to ensure that all participants have a great season. And we do that with other leagues as well. We make sure that when we're playing over at Templeton or Atascadero or San Luis, we meet with those supervisors early and we coordinate our efforts and resources so the participants have the best experience that they can have. And continue with the closing ceremonies to include singing the national anthem, player recognition, sponsor recognition, and, of course, the barbecue potluck. One more softball. This is the 2008 Coast Girls Softball All-Stars. Now, you know we've done it. We did the tournament, and then we did the regular season, and this is the All-Star program. This requires the support from the Girls Softball Board, and they help with this tremendously. Our role in this is limited to a financial, a fiscal oversight, and limited assistance to ensure the success of the program. So we're basically just guiding them through their and the softball tournaments they go to. I think two or at least three tournaments the All-Stars do. They just don't play one tournament. The total expenses to include supplies, registration, and field maintenance is $4,791.99. Revenues brought in, $4,791.99. Cost recovery, 100%, which is terrific. You'll see the transfer from the Summer Slam program, the 2007 Coast Summer Slam tournament. The proceeds of that come back to the following, to the next year, and help offset the expenses for the All-Stars. So our Summer Slam that you saw earlier in the program evaluations, those gains will be forwarded to the 2009 regular season. So it's kind of, we're kind of helping the whole program perpetuate itself into a cost recovery. Some of the recommendations for the softball were to continue the support of the girls' Coast Girls Softball Advisory Board, continue to explore uniform options, and seek sponsors to defray the cost. And I've said sponsors on probably every program. We are developing and enhancing and updating our sponsor program for the sports activities. So look for something along those lines in the future. The last program I bring forward to you is the 2008 Youth T-Ball and Coach Pitch. Expenses were... The program were field rental at Morrow Elementary, supplies and also staff costs. Direct costs were $45. Indirect cost, which is the cost allocation we had talked about earlier, was $430.15. Total expenses of $1,675.15. The revenue brought in was through registration, and the revenues were $1,961. Net gain of $285.85. Cost recovery, 117%. So we have a really, as you can see the track record as we're going in and really striving for the 100% cost recovery. Not all programs meet that. You have guidelines and previous commissions that have set that certain programs should meet certain cost recovery, but I think that we'll be looking to revise those and really gearing towards 100%. Staff is aware of that, and we've been taking those necessary actions to make sure that we're in the right direction. Some of the recommendations for the program were to make the teams similar size, similar age and abilities, 4 through 6 year olds, and then also 7th and 8th year olds. So this is T-ball, coach pitch, and we're just trying to keep teams consistent and not have really older kids with really young kids, because it becomes a safety issue at that point. And we would want everyone to be safe and enjoy so they can continue if they wish to. Continue to finish the season with the potluck barbecue. We always do that. We love to have a potluck barbecue. Purchase new helmets and bats for the 2009 season. Per parent evaluation, have one practice and one game per week. So we did take some input from some participants, parents, and they were saying, hey, just one practice and one game a week would be great. And so we may look to try that next year. Continue to use a field supervisor or umpire, which worked out well. Continue to have T-ball games and practices at Morrow and the coach pitch at Lila Kaiser, and that's worked out really well. It's kind of put a little bit of a damper on our field preps for the night softball, but it certainly brings the little ones out and gives them a taste of the diamond and the field, and not just on a grassy field at Morrow. So that's worked out really well, and we want to continue that and continue the transition from T-ball to coach pitch during the season. So that concludes our program evaluations. At this time, I'd open up for any questions, and I would also entertain a motion to accept these reports for file. Thank you.
Questions for Joe?
It's a good report. Thanks, Joe. It's good to see all that participation. Cost recovery is really well. 85% is great. I mean, these others that are over 100 are very well, but I would just hope that we are keeping the fees at a good price to encourage participation rather than look at profit, net recovery, so cost recovery. So,
can I comment on that? Staff definitely agrees with you, Johnny. Commissioner Munoz, pardon me. And there was an increase in fees, particularly in the futsal program. It's considered the program is offered, I believe, for less in San Luis than it is here, but we weren't in the same league because we've got a higher standard for our cost recovery. So we upped it to $55. Participation went from, I think it was in the 80s last year, to 120 this year. So even though we increased the fees slightly to reach our goal for 100% cost recovery, we still had participation, we still increased the participation, and we will definitely watch that closely.
Yeah, because like you say, is you know, as long as we still have good participation, we're good. And if it starts to drop too much, then we would want to, like you say, look at that. So. Mm-hmm.
Further discussion? Thanks for the report, Joe. I thought they were great, terrific, well done. A motion to accept?
If there's no more discussion, I make a motion to accept A3 for file.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Motion to accept for file passes. Okay. And now we will move to B1, Recreation and Parks Department status report. For that, here we go. Joe?
Chair Solon Commission. B1 is brought to you every month. It's a status report for the programs and projects that are going on in our department. Sometimes I start and I'd skip the Rockies and the skate park, but this time I won't. So Rockies and is which is also called the Teen Center. Summer hours are Monday through Saturday, 1 to 7. School hours of operations are as follows. In Morro Bay High School's only, the students from Morro Bay High School only on Monday mornings, and then all students from 7th grade to 12th grade are able to come to the teen center Tuesday through Saturday, 1 p.m. until 7 p.m. We are closed on holidays. We're open on special hours during the school breaks. Rockies is also open for rentals. If you want to have a birthday party or a graduation party or any kind of party and you want to rent out Rockies, come on down. It's $300 for 3 hours, which is a great deal. And you can just call our line at 772-6212 and get further information. The skate park summer hours are Monday through Saturday, noon to 5. School hours of operations are Saturday and Sunday only from noon to 5. This park is also available for a two-hour party rental. For $100, interested parties can call the same number at Rockies, 772-6212. The Del Mar Tennis Courts is the next item. We'll try to update you. There has not been any significant changes in the status of the tennis courts. We are still seeking permits and easements to start our construction. The community pool is another one we've had on here, and it's sat idle for quite a long time, so it's nice to see some action in the pool. And you heard a presentation today from the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, and hopefully we'll hear some from some commissioners later on regarding future agenda items. The summer tides issue is on our web. It covers June through August. And the fall issue will be covering September through November, and that will be online. I believe it'll be online a little later this month. The Morro Bay and Cayucas Connector, there is not great movement there. I believe that they are in an environmental phase, and they will also be looking for additional funding to continue that project to get in a construction phase. So the slow cog is moving with this as well as the county. The Morro Bay Community Foundation is still meeting, and they have several things that they're working on, particularly identifying fundraisers. And their big fundraiser is the Dixon Halfley Spaghetti Dinner, and that one will be continued. And I think there's something new, if I could mention that now. Can I mention that now? Okay. They also be doing a run during the Harbor Festival. It'll be a fun run. It'll be from the rock to the rock. So look for information regarding that coming up soon. Some department changes. Actually, nothing's been changing in our department. I'm still the acting director, and there'll be some, hopefully there'll be some movement in the organization as City Council meets a week from yesterday. It'll be the 13th. They'll be discussing managing partners report, their recommendations. And if you read today's paper, it's also an article there about restructuring or reorganization of the city, and certainly that will be on the table as City Council discusses this matter. So as that progresses, I'll try to keep you updated. If you have any concerns between meetings, certainly give me a call. Street park trees, we'll be putting new trees in at City Park, and those trees are down, so there hasn't been anything huge to report on our trees in the parks. The Del Mar Master Plan, the Del Mar Park Program, staff is working with the Morro Bay Pups on the agenda for August the 11th at the City Council meeting will be a resolution for the City Council to adopt. If they do, it designates the northwest corner of Del Mar as a off-leash dog area, and there are some elements within that that give staff direction as far as how we're to proceed, but a lot of the direction spelled out in the MOU with the Morro Bay Pups, and as they get, if the resolution does pass on Monday, It will probably come back to you, and you'll be looking for an amendment to the facilities plan, which based specifically the elements within Del Mar Park. So you're not quite finished. It will come back to you. You have to do some more revisions, some legal documents that we need to take care of, and then we can push it forward again. So, and that's been kind of an interesting timeline. The resolution that's going in front of City Council now also has a 2 or 3 page sheet attached to it that's a timeline that tells you how this thing has evolved and what's gone on. So if you want to dig into that, that would be a good document to get a hold of. It's a public document. And if you wanted to peruse it, you can come to our office or else City Hall. And I have two more things. Hoops Camp, a very popular Hoops Camp, went on in June the 16th through the 20th. 52 girls ranging from ages 7 to 14 attended the week-long camp. Teamwork, sportsmanship, the main focus, and it emphasizes on, and it also emphasizes basic basketball skills. This camp started in 1994 and continues to be a well received and well participated program. One item that's not on your status report that I want to update you on is the late start Monday mornings at Del Mar Elementary School. Staff has been meeting with members of the district regarding their changes to the schedule and their needs for child care prior to a 9:30 start. I guess it's a 9:15 campus open, so we've got about an hour that we're trying to deal with. So we're working with the district very closely. I think we've come to an agreement that we've got a proposal that will probably work well. And so as we finalize that agreement, we'll update you at your next meeting. But it looks very positive right now. So we've gone through a couple, 2 or 3 meetings to get some details worked out. So it looks like we will be, it seems that we will be helping out the district and providing that early morning child care. And just to let you know, it isn't just going to be staff. Part of our proposal requests that we have ROP students from the high school come and assist. And so that's really a great element to see that we could help facilitate that interaction between the young people in our community that are looking, that need to be cared for, and having some of the high school folks come down and take on some responsibilities and work with staff. So it's kind of going to be an exciting little partnership, and hopefully it'll be a win-win for everybody involved. That concludes my report, the program status report. I would certainly open it up for any questions at this time.
Questions for Mr. Woods?
Motion to accept B1 for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, we will move to C now. Written communication, C1, citizens reports and correspondence.
I've got this one wired. We have none.
No. Yeah. There you go. Moving on. D1, youth services summary for May and June. And shall we do D1, 2, and 3 completely together?
Certainly. Chair Solo and Commission, I'd be happy to present D1, 2, and 3 and open it up for questions at that time. So I'll begin with the participation report for the month of May, Youth Services Division. I don't know what your order is, but I'm going to start with Youth Services. For the month of May, you'll see a slight decrease in the participants for the belly dancing class, but you also see an increase in the nickel bingo class. A lot of the programs like Bridge and have remained fairly close to the same numbers as the previous fiscal year, as well as Quilt Fever and the Quilting Guild. Life Drawing, which is a Friday life drawing class that's been going on for probably better than 30 years, still holding its own. And again, we don't have the yoga particularly offered. We do have a yoga class offered through the Emeritus program, but we don't have one through our personal instructors. 39-plus dance is holding its own. And there's also, you'll see a decrease of about 1,000 participants in the teen center. And we have noted that from time to time, that we feel that it's kind of a plateau. It's evened out, not in a bad way, but just that's the numbers that we're seeing right now. And until something changes at the high school or something, I think those numbers are going to be pretty steady. And overall, for May, you're only seeing a slight decrease in the year-to-date of about 25 participants. So all in all, good numbers. The month of June for the youth services, again, you'll see a slight decrease, 36,288 total for this year, 36,355 for the previous year. Those are on the bottom of your sheet. And again, you'll see the very similar type of breakdown throughout the classes of increases and decreases. D1 for the Youth Services Division. You have to pardon me, I have two of those in my packet. I'll put them down and go on to sports. Recreational sports for the month of May. You'll see a total for the year to date, 36,817. That's down from the previous fiscal year at 41,406. Items to note, fencing class no longer exists. Sometimes program life cycle, it peaks and then dies and we look for something new. We've got a slight decrease in the end of the season tournaments for the adult softball. We see a nice increase at the Kids Love Soccer program. And that soccer program has really taken off. The UK soccer continues to bring in about 145 participants. We've got a large increase, and you'll see that increase at futsal. We talked about that earlier. And the number of participants was 120 participants, but the number of participations goes up, and this is a participation report, so don't get confused by the number of people that are in the program for the number of times they participated. And the other numbers are fairly close. We've got a large increase in the youth soccer end of the season tournament, and as you go through there, if anything really looks lopsided, please bring it up at the end of the report. The month of June for the recreational sports, this is the year end. They're totaled out for the year at 42,432 participants, participations, and the previous year was just a couple thousand higher, and you'll be able to see that adult softball league, I think we lost a night somewhere down, I think it was a Wednesday night, we lost a team or two, and when we only have about three teams in a league, we tend not to bring that forward. So if we lose a league like Wednesday night, then it's going to affect us exponentially within this report. And I'll bring up the last one, which is Zumba. And we have, that was a new program, and we are seeing obviously a big increase from the previous year because it's new. But you also see that the month of June, there isn't any. So even though we introduce something new and we increase, maybe it doesn't take off. And a lot of times when we have a new contract instructor, we'll have some guidelines and some parameters saying, you know, you have a minimum number is going to be, say, 8 or 10 or 12, and it goes into our equation of how we determine what the fee is for the program. And we include the instructor's fee. We include our indirect costs and our direct cost, and we come up with that number. And if the class can't sustain that, then it tends to drop off, and that's what you're going to see there. The last report I have for you is the Facilities and Parks report for the month of May and June. The Morro Bay Community Center shows about 1,000 hours decrease from the year to date, but there's also an increase at the Vets Hall of about 900 hours. So facilities, you're looking at 17,074 hours compared to the previous year at 17,183 hours. Your parks usage, you look at Kaiser, and that's the biggest difference and the year-to-date is Lila Kaiser. And the totals for the month of May year-end are 20,268, previous 21,330. Some large events that happened throughout the month were the Hanson's wedding reception, the Morro Bay Boosters fundraiser. They continue to come back. It's an annual event, as well as the Eagles dinner, and those are repeats. And we also had a benefit barbecue. The last month we'll review is the month of June, and which is a year-end date for our fiscal year. 18,602 for the facilities, 3,604 for the parks, totaling 22,206 for the year end, down about 1,100 from the previous fiscal year. Again, we have some repeat rentals for the facility. We have the Bennett Surratt belly dancing performance, and they come back every year with a caravan performance, and we're always delighted to have them. We had a graduation and a birthday party, as well as a bridal shower. That concludes my reports, D1, 2, and 3. I'm opening up for discussion at this time, and we'll also entertain a motion for accepting for file.
Any discussion at this time?
If there's no discussion, I make a motion to accept D1, 2, 3 for file.
All in favor? Oops, second. I need a second.
Hold on.
Sorry.
He said D1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and we've only discussed 1, 2, and 3.
D1, 2, and 3.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Let us look for D4, the senior representative report. Norma?
I want to the last
microphone.
Oh.
Oh, was on. Okay. We went to the street fair on August the 3rd, and it was cold and windy, but we did all right. We made $310, which is really down from the previous years. And we're having a rummage sale on 9/27. And now we have food distribution 5 days a week at the senior center for low income, where we supposedly only had it Mondays and first Friday and the third Friday of the month. We now have it every day, except Sunday. That's about.
Thank you, Norma. Can we have
Do we need a motion for that?
We do need a motion.
Motion to accept D4 for fire.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Commissioner reports?
I just have a quick one on the outdoor Bill of Rights document. I think we're at the final stage of completion. Actually, I think we're actually done with the design, and I don't know if we might have to just validate some of the phone numbers on there, but it's looking good. And so we'll probably in the next week or two be able to, well, the city will be able to then decide how to, you know, distribute it, put it on the web, and or decide if you're going to print it and post it up anywhere. Anything else, Joe, to add there?
I don't think so. I just wanted to compliment you on your work. It's terrific, and we're very appreciative. I think it's going to come out more than what we expected. The distribution will be interesting. We're looking to get it out to everyone that we can. And how we do that, I'm sure we're going to be posting it on our website. Whether we do hard copies and mail them out will be something that we want to discuss. I will bring this forward to our SLOCAPR meeting, which is the county agency for all recreation and parks administrators, and because we're the ones who initiated this and hopefully simultaneously got it all passed throughout the county. And we may be one of the few that actually doing some serious follow-up. And I think that's commendable at the commission, and hopefully that the community can enjoy our endeavors. So thank you, Christy Hill.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I do have one follow-up now. It is I do have to do the award. There's an award to go with it, so I have one more little action item there. But
well,
should be able to get that this week.
On behalf of the commission, really, Christy, thank you very much. You took the bull by the horns there and jumped on it. Thank you so much. Okay, so I have a commissioner report as well. As you know, I sit on the Morro Bay Community Foundation as part of my duties here. And I just wanted to let you know that we are, after attending several meetings, we are moving in a new direction for our fundraising for youth scholarships. We are moving completely away from the art auction that we have held for several years. And we are going with our core being the Dixon Spaghetti Fundraiser, which you all receive tickets and sell tickets for. And in addition, the aforementioned Rock to Rock run on Saturday, October 4th at 8:30 a.m., Harbor Festival weekend in conjunction with the Harbor Festival. And if you buy a T-shirt for that Rock to Rock run, you will be admitted into the Harbor Festival for free as a partner to us. The Harbor Festival is doing that for us. In addition to that, we're looking for sponsors for those T-shirts. And it's $50 for a business card size ad on those T-shirts. So you can reach me through the Recreation and Parks Department if you'd like to sponsor. But that is the direction that we are moving in. And so we are looking for volunteers, and hopefully I will have commissioners turn out on the weekend to help me with the timing of the run. It's my first ever attempt at this. So the timing of the run and water stations and the registration of the run, we are definitely going to need some help. So I'm going to be looking to the commission for that in the future. Thank you very much. And let's move to now, declaration of future. I don't need a motion to accept those reports for file, do I, Joe? I'm sorry.
No, you don't.
Okay,
thank
let's you. Move to the future agenda items. I would at this time probably go back to the poll as a future agenda item. I see everybody and almost everybody up here in consensus shaking their head. Let's whittle that down pretty quickly here and get some direction going on that. I think what I would like to see, and if somebody wants to see something different, throw it in, but I would like to see if we still have funds for a feasibility study, which we had several years ago, as we discussed earlier. If there were still funds for a feasibility study, I would like to maybe agendize looking into us being a partner, adopting the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation as a partner with the Recreation and Parks Department, or recommending that we forward that to the City Council to say that the city would be willing to be a partner. Would there be any other aspects that we would be throwing forward for the agenda?
I think staff could help us as far as like what any other responsibilities we may want to take, like helping on the
feasibility study, like what kind of questions and inputs we might offer
that
could go in there. That makes sense. One other thing, too, I thought of, and I don't know if we can agendize participation by the nonprofit to actually plan to have them attend our Rec and Parks as an item. I mean, from my opinion, I think the pool is a really big topic of interest for the community, and I could see having them come maybe even quarterly and give an update on where we stand. So we just sort of get that built in versus, oh, we forgot about the pool and we've got this and that going on, but potentially invite them, or maybe we can put this on the agenda to discuss also next month, that we invite them at least quarterly to come and give an update. So again, the community can hear via this commission meeting what the latest developments are.
Great idea. Get all
we can
that.
Do that. Yeah, I did.
Okay. So seeing nothing else, I would take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn the August 7th meeting.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Thank you.
Good job.